Let's pray. Father, we thank you just for your presence in this place, God. It's such a privilege, God, that we can come into your presence, God, that we can boldly come, Lord. And tonight we open our hearts, God, and we come with an expectation, Father, to change, God, an expectation to be transformed. And Holy Spirit, we welcome you as our teacher, Lord, and we open our hearts that even though you might say things we don't like, Lord, and we don't feel comfortable with, Lord, you would... We give you free reign, Lord, to come and mold us and shape us and make us more like Christ, God. And we just yield this time to you, and we thank you for your faithfulness in this place. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Great. We are continuing to go through our core values. If you're visiting here this evening, we've looked at the passion for Jesus. We've looked at people to serve. We are now looking a second week at looking at power of belief, and we will continue with purpose to pursue next week. And so don't miss out on that. We're having great discussions on the Wednesday evening. So this is only the first half of the deal, and the second half happens on a Wednesday evening. So please join us there at the office. In terms of values and this vision that God has given us. So I want to encourage you, if we spend a lot of time on it, because God has told us that we should become a family, and we are a family on a mission, and we are a family with a mission. And it's, sometimes we kind of sit back and think, oh, that's all good, and we just carry on. But, if I just want to encourage you, if you are here for a reason, which I believe every one of you are, God is not confused. Amen. Not confused. He's put us here for a reason, and he's put every one of us in this body for a reason. And if you are in this body, and if you believe this is where God has called us, this vision and these values are God's best, his purpose and his love, his demonstration of his love for you. This is like God's best for you now. This is the best place for you now, if you get what I'm saying. So this is not something you can, oh, cool, this is really, if you're in this body and you're part of this family, we need to take a hold of this, okay? And it's because of the love of God that he's given us this. Okay, so take it in that context. All right, so we're carrying on. We're looking at the power of belief. And before we get into that, I just need to lay a foundation, which is very important for this we're looking at today. And that is the fear versus faith principle, okay? In many ways, fear basically has exactly the opposite effect of faith. It's kind of, it works directly against faith. In our lives before we know God, and even in relationship with God, often there are a lot of fears that influence us. We worry about things. I know you guys don't stress much, but even I worry sometimes, there's stuff that makes us anxious, our job, or who am I gonna marry, my children, and where should I live, all that stuff. There's so many things that kind of, make us anxious. And often we find kind of security in these things if they are all in place. We kind of want to find peace in that, we want to find security. But the reality is we can't really find peace outside of Jesus Christ. We can't find a place of rest outside of faith in him and relationship with him. And the challenge is, even in relationship, actually, before I say that, let's read from Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14 and 15. It says that through death, Christ might destroy him who had the power of death, that is the devil, and release those who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. And that's basically the crux of it, is that this fear, and the fear of death is like the main one. Okay, that's kind of the crux of our fear about where am I going to end up. Is somebody taking the spotlight there? In any case, are you with me? You know, the fear of death is kind of the main one. Is that thing of, I don't know where I'm going to end up, and that's kind of the worst thing. It's kind of the worst thing, okay? It's like worst case scenario. And here we see so powerfully that is why Christ has come. That is why he died on the cross, that he overcame death. He won the battle. There was this battle going on, and he won the victory, and he took away the power of death. And with that, any cause for the fear of death. And that is in that lies our hope and our strength and the fact that we don't have to be afraid. And when we are in a relationship with Jesus Christ and we are born again, we now live out of faith and no longer out of fear. Where even in a religious sense, you know, like before I knew Jesus, I was very religious, but that was all out of fear. Out of fear that I wasn't going to, you know, please God, or a fear that I'm not going to make it, all those things, you know. That even that is kind of... Is out of fear. And very importantly tonight, we're looking at, you know, if we look back at the passion for Jesus, we looked at passionate obedience, whatever God says. But that kind of implies that we need to kind of hear God and know what he's saying, okay? And then we looked at people to serve. And again, we spoke about obeying God in serving others. But again, that means we have to somehow be able to hear. And I remember one of our conversations that actually came up on a Wednesday. Somebody said, now the next thing is we need to learn how to hear God. Because we've established that when he does talk, we must obey. But now, you know, that kind of is precluded by, I must be able to discern the voice of God and hear what he's saying so that I can respond to that. So are you with me? And like in any relationship, communication with God is absolutely essential. Any of you married or wanting to be married one day, this is a key for any healthy relationship and a healthy marriage is communication. And the same way with God, how can we have a relationship with someone if we can't communicate? How can we have a relationship with him if we can't speak to him and he can't speak to us? Okay, so that's why we're kind of wrestling with this. And hearing from God, hearing his voice, and we're going to look at all different ways of how we can recognize when God communicates with us and speaks and etc. That requires faith. Okay? And that's kind of this foundation I'm laying now, is that if we are in fear, we struggle to hear God's voice. So if you're in a situation and you're anxious about something, even sometimes we go through the motions, we pray, we ask God, we do all the Christian things, you know, we ask our friends to pray, but and if you're still under fear, you're going to struggle to hear his voice. So that's step one. That's why we're dealing with this now first, is that first step is take authority over that fear, because God has overcame that fear. He's won the victory. Jesus has won the victory. You can take that thought, those thoughts captive. You can overcome that fear so that you can respond to God in faith. Okay, so that's kind of the first thing we need to clear out here. Get rid of that fear. If you feel, I'm anxious, I'm still worrying about this thing, I don't know if God can deliver me, just stop the bus right there and just get rid of that fear first. Say, Lord, I repent of this thing, this is not of you. I'll lay it down and then pray again. You'll see, you'll be amazed at the difference. Speak the word of God. Romans, you know, Romans 8:15. I've not been given a spirit of fear, but of, you know, or spirit of bondage again to fear, but of love and of, no, that's, I'm mixing the two up now, of a spirit of adoption, like when we cry, Abba Father, you know, all that. We've not been received the spirit of fear, but of love and of power and of sound mind. You know, there's so many scriptures that you can just speak over that situation. Say, this is not, I'm not afraid, I'm not going to receive this. I have the mind of Christ. I can trust him. Okay. So, and often we ask the question, but does God speak to me? You know, I've heard that many times, and we often wrestle with this. Does the Lord speak to me? Do I hear him? You know, often we say, I don't hear God speak to me. And I'm not talking about audibly. We're going to look at all different ways this evening. But the answer is yes. Okay, if you're wondering about that, Scripture says that he's the good shepherd, and we are his sheep, and these sheep hear his voice. Okay, so that's what we're dealing with tonight. And if you've been struggling with that, then you're in the right place. Okay, there's no It's not about feeling bad about it. It's just like, I want to hear God. I want to hear what He's saying. I want to discern His voice, and I want to respond when He's speaking. Amen. Okay. Great. Let's go carry on. Okay, firstly, we're going to look at recognizing, responding to God's word and works. And we have to kind of recognize, that's the first thing, is to recognize that communication is happening, to discern exactly what God is saying and then how we should respond to what He's saying. So we're going to look at some practical things, trying to, you know, make this as practical as possible. Right, if there are three sources, starting with thoughts, okay, looking at recognizing, responding, and specifically through thoughts. There are three sources of thoughts. Okay, I'm going to try and, they've got a lot of ground to cover, so you're going to have to bear with me. Why are you so spread out? I have to go all the way. All the skiers' seats here in the middle. Okay, the three sources. The first one is self. Okay, my own thoughts. Secondly, the devil or his cronies. Okay, demons and things. Then we've got the third source is God. All right, so now this is one of the biggest, the most important things is for us to be able to distinguish where is this thought coming from. And let's just read from 1 Corinthians chapter 2, from verse 10, the second bit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of man except the Spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. And it's incredible. You know, I remember before I got born again, before I stepped into a relationship with God, there were a lot of things going on in my head, and it was almost impossible for me to discern what's going on where and what's coming from which side, and kind of just go with what sounds best type of thing, you know. And but the amazing thing is when we have received the Spirit of God, when we're in a relationship with Him, and specifically, I've experienced my life since being filled with the Holy Spirit, there's been a very clear change in my communication with God and my discerning what is coming from Him and what is not coming from Him. And for us now is to kind of to see how do we distinguish between those three sources, okay? And now it's like a radio that you have to tune in. This is going way back, okay, when I was little. We didn't have a television. But we had a radio. So Saturday afternoons, I would listen to rugby games on the radio. But now first, you had to get to the right station. Because at that stage, my English wasn't so great, so I had to get it to a station that commentated on the game in a language that I could understand. So so then you have to, you know, you twist that knob, and you have to find that these days you just press buttons, and it looks for you and does all the work. But those days, you had to kind of tune it, you know, there's a lot of noise and you get static and you get like whistling sounds and then some other station with dodgy music that you don't want to hear, and then you have to get to that right spot and then it's clear and suddenly you can hear clearly. Okay, and it's often like that with our hearing from God, is that there are so many other things that are kind of interfering, that fear that it wants to interfere, that the enemy that wants to come in with confusion and other thoughts, and then their own soulish thoughts coming in between as well. And it's something we learn. So I want to encourage you, if you're not there today, it's not like a big thing. It's just like, yes, God, I want to learn. I want to learn to tune in to your wavelength. I want to position myself to hear your voice clearly, without interference, without stuff coming in the way. It's like, you know, I learned Morse code at one stage, and it's, at the beginning, it's just literally a lot of beeps. You know, beep, 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 beep. You know, it's just a lot of beeps. But once you get to know it, like that was SOS. But that's all I know. I can remember. But it's an important one. But, you know, it's just a lot of beeps. But once you get to know it, it's like just somebody talking to you. It's so clear. But for somebody that doesn't know, it's just beeps. The same with God. You know, we need to learn to hear His voice. We need to learn to distinguish what He's saying. Okay. Now, in terms of thoughts, first, you know, from ourselves, it's often driven by soulish desire. It's often driven by our own selfish needs and desires. Okay, so that's often easy to distinguish. Okay, where the me, myself, and I trinity reign, those thoughts. Okay, those are thoughts from yourself, where it's about me and what I need and what I want and where I'm going. Okay, you guys don't have those, I know. But, you know, I have to kind of make that call. Thoughts from the devil, often, you know, they almost seem like this could be something that's from God, but then, you know, often it's just a subtle twist of the word or twist of the truth. But they don't line up with Scripture. They go against the law of love. Okay, that's very important. The grace of God. And often those the thoughts of the soul and the thoughts of the devil, they kind of work together. Okay, so be warned. And then the powerful thing is that we can take these thoughts captive. Okay, when something comes in that you recognize, oh dear, this is not from God, this is something I need to take captive. And the Scripture says, take every thought captive to the obedience of Jesus Christ. And I want to encourage you to do it's something you actively do. To say it, I say it loud. I take this thought captive to the obedience of Jesus Christ. Because this is going in the wrong direction, okay? And then, obviously, the thoughts that are from God, they pass the, as Francis says, the double litmus test. Firstly, they often contrary to our personal fleshly desire, okay? And they always line up with Scripture. So that's kind of the best test, is to see whether it lines up with Scripture. So is this thing that I'm hearing, it doesn't violate the law of love, it goes with Scripture. Okay, I can carry on with this. Are you still with me? Okay, just get some practical examples. Often, I have a weakness when it comes to call centers. I get very angry when I talk to people at call centers. I don't know why. I'm still dealing with that, but it seems like it's still happening, and I have to grow in this area. But especially when it's got to do with service or the lack of service, etc. So when something like that happens, and I'm all upset, and I want to smash somebody's face in and stuff like that, you know, I know you guys don't have that problem, but you know, you're all upset and angry, and you can either want to be violent, or some people like to go and eat lots. Or eat a chocolate or something. I think, or feel like now I want to go and veg now, or drink 2 liters of Coke and five chocolates. Eat five chocolates. Would you say that is from God? No? Yes? No? That's okay. That'll be like my own kind of. Okay, you with me? Sorry, I'm just being funny. But what comes now is that you're having a say, your boss was kind of strict with you, or you interpreted it as he was being mean with you, and now you realize that you just these thoughts coming of yes, but actually I am worthless, and actually I'm never going to make it in this job environment. I can't do this thing, and I'm destined to fail at this. You know, that's typically what the enemy will throw at you when you're in a situation like that. So you're getting what I'm saying. There's a place where we need to. When this thing comes, I need to take a hold of it. I need to take it captive immediately before it goes any further. And then thoughts from God. You know, it happens to me. It's amazing. Sometimes I think, like the other day I was walking to work, and suddenly I thought of this friend of mine. It's actually my friend's brother, and we grew up together. And I haven't thought of him in a while. And then often something like that happens, you think, oh, that's funny. I don't know. Why did I think of him now? Let me just carry on with our day. But I've learned that is when God says, pray for him. Okay. You know? And so when a full thought like that pops into your head, guess what? God is speaking to you. It's not coincidence. It's not, oh, dear. It's God trying to say something to you. So just pray. Just respond. You know, you get a thought, I should tell Gibby I want to be in the worship band. You know, where does that come from? You know, that's not the devil, okay? It's definitely not yourself. I believe, you know, if I wouldn't. But you see, Leodolf can sing. That's different. But there's a place of really coming, just being practical. Okay, where is this coming from? And then the most important thing tonight, guys, is that when we do discern something that comes from God, is how we respond to it. Okay? If you learn anything tonight, that is, don't just ignore it like we often do. Don't just put it beside. The way we respond to the Word of God, in whichever form may come, is like, it's almost the most important thing, because the Holy Spirit can be quenched. We can easily quench the Holy Spirit, easily grieve the Holy Spirit. So that's key. That's why, you know, I'm getting ahead of myself. But if you get something, if you get a thought or a word, or we're going to look at a whole lot of examples now, it's good to write it down if it's something that, you know, if it's good to write stuff down, to journal what God is saying. It's for some of the most encouraging, so encouraging for me if I go back to stuff that I wrote down about when God spoke to me about where He's taking me, what He's got in store for me. It's so encouraging because I can see how faithful God has been. And where something that hadn't made sense then, I can see how His will has come to pass. I want to really encourage you, come into a habit of writing stuff down. When somebody speaks, gives you a word, or when you have a dream, whatever it is, respond saying, as if, you know, it's something precious. Just discard it. Treat it as something precious because it is. It's the King of Kings, the Lord of God, Almighty, Creator of the universe, communicating with you, okay, and with me. Okay, so don't get rid of the coincidences thought, and just receive what God is saying, and pray for the people. You know, say something, somebody at your workplace, if you remember something about them, oh yeah, I remember he said, mentioned something that his mom is ill or something. Those things, God reminds us of those things so that we can engage that person. Okay, so don't think, oh, that's interesting. Pray for them, ask them about it, encourage them. Okay. Good. Oh dear, it's going to be long tonight. Okay. A few times, but the one specifically, I was at a till paying for something in a shop, and the Lord I just felt to encourage this person. And it was just something simple. I can't remember what it was. I can't remember. It's something like the Lord knows what they're going through. He hasn't forgotten about them or something like that. And I just remember the person sitting there, shocked, completely shocked. No, didn't say a word, but I could see the Lord has now put His finger there in a place that He knows where, what, and why. And I just left it there and I carried on. But it's amazing. Just a simple thing like that, just simple obedience to something that sounds so trivial, can change somebody's life in that moment. Okay. So don't brush it off as coincidence. No, it's just me. Okay, we need to learn to discern and we need to tune into that. Amen. Okay. It's incredible when we do respond, and when there is something, and we do, even if it's a little thing, we do respond. There's an incredible flow of grace, and there's such a liberty, there's such a blessing when one realizes, oh dear, I just heard from God, and I responded, and somebody's life was touched. And it is really, that's the best place for me. It's incredible, incredible blessing in that. Okay, recognizing and responding in terms of prayer. Very important place where we come expecting that God will reveal Himself, where we humble ourselves. And that is the important thing about prayer, is that in prayer we humble ourselves before God. And as we spoke last week, that God gives grace to the humble and He resists the proud. So humbling, just going into prayer and kind of humbling yourself before God and acknowledging that you need to hear from Him, you need to communicate, is an act of humbling. Okay, so immediately there's grace that you can expect to receive grace from Him. When you come to God, when we come to Him in prayer, we often like to tell God how to do things. Like I said, I think it's a week or two ago. So beware of that. Okay. We go with it, our minds made up. But now I'm praying, Lord, you know, should I date this guy? But I don't really want to hear God, but because What if he says something that different to what I want? You know. So go with open heart, ready to receive what God has for us. Often in corporate prayer, and this is a way that we learn to hear God's voice. In corporate prayer, you're praying together in a group, and you just, again, a thought comes into your head, and you think, okay, I want to pray this, and then suddenly somebody else prays it. Has it ever happened to anybody? No. Yes, one or two. And you think, oh, no. But what does that mean? That means you're hearing what God is saying. God is not confused, okay? A friend of mine has a gift of interpretation of tongues, and we would pray softly in the spirit in tongues, and then pray, and then she would afterwards say, oh, it was so cool because you prayed that in tongues, and then somebody else prayed it in English. You understand? So there's just this agreement in the spirit, and when something like that happens, you must know, it's not coincidence. You're hearing God's voice. God is speaking to you. And next time you can have greater boldness. And when a thought like that pops into your head, yes, it is scriptural. Go have boldness to share, have boldness to pray it. God is speaking to you. If you really want to discern, learn to discern and learn to grow in this, intercession is the place to be. Okay, guys, I know some of us don't like that word, but that's the most amazing place to really get practical and where we put ourselves in an environment where we're seeking God's face actively for something mostly not our own desires. And we learn to hear, His voice, we learn to distinguish. And it's like just in any other relationship, you get to recognize somebody's voice. You learn to hear, you learn their voice. When you hear them over the phone, I always like to play tricks with my family when I phone them, but they're now getting. I have to really change my voice quite a bit for them to fall for it. And so that, you know, you learn in the same way. We learn. You know, we get to know God's voice, and that happens a lot in intercession. So I want to really encourage you to join us Sundays, afternoons before the service, and then obviously we have our regular intercession where we come all together. In James chapter 1, verse 5 to 7. Can you read with me? If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith, with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. And, you know, often we think this is like a harsh scripture. And firstly, yeah, this is one of those great tips in the Bible. You'll see the Lord is so good. He gives us these cool tips. And this is one of those where he says, listen, I know you need this. I know you need it. So he's actually telling us, please ask me for this, because I know you need this. Okay, it's like that where he says, you know, those who need the Holy Spirit should ask of God. It's again, he said, ask me for wisdom, because he knows we need it. Okay, so that's the first tip. Take it. Okay, we need that. We need to ask God for wisdom. And then secondly, there's this whole concept that we dealt with at the beginning. I'm not going to go through it again, but the whole thing of when we ask God, are we operating in fear or are we coming in faith? Are we expecting to receive something from God? Or are we coming, let me just give this a try. I'm just going through the motion. I'm a Christian, so I suppose I should pray. Okay, so there's the whole thing of, am I coming to God saying, Lord, I know you have the answer for me. I don't know what it is. I don't know what form or shape it might come, but I know you have the way for me. And I'm coming with that expectation. Not kind of, oh dear, you know, I'm this way and that way. I don't know. Maybe God will hear, maybe he won't. It's kind of, I know God is faithful. I know he will respond. God, I believe, but I've got a bit of doubt. Maybe help me in my unbelief. You know, the Lord isn't intimidated by that. But just be honest and come to him with an expectation of a response, okay? And then the big challenge, you know, you can ask my wife. One of the things that irritates me the most, and I was really patient with me in this, is that when somebody asks me for advice, or they ask me for directions, or, you know, they, ask me about something really practical, and I give them the answer, and then they don't believe me. And they do something else. That's like, if you really want to upset me, you must do that. It's like, but so why do you ask me then? You know, it's like, in any case. So I was just thinking about this afternoon, and imagine, I mean, I can be wrong, and I'm wrong often. So that's not the end of the world, but God isn't wrong. So how bad is it if we come to God and we ask him something and then we, oh dear, no, I'm just going to ignore that, you know. I mean, Charlotte, just don't go there. You know, like I said before, should I take this job? Should I move house? Lord, you know, is this the right girl for me? And then when the answer comes, we don't like it. And what do you do? What if you don't agree with God? It's always never happened to you, okay? It's terrible. Because somebody's going to have to change. And you know what? It's not going to be God, okay? So that's the challenge. When we, it's how we approach God, ready to hear whatever he has to say. Lord, I'm open to hear from you. I'm ready to humble myself. I'm ready to yield to your will. And even when it hurts, even when I don't want to hear it, you are God. You are Lord. That's why I call you Lord. Because you can tell me this way or that way. So it's kind of, again, that response to what he is saying. It's so important. Okay. Often even, you know, when we ask about careers and things, the answer comes in ways we don't recognize or we feel uncomfortable with, you know. Prayed about being in God's will, and then really earnestly sought God about being in his will, and then the next few weeks everything went pear-shaped, you know. I was forced to resign my job. I was suddenly in deep in the debt. I couldn't study any longer. All the stuff that I felt I had security in all fell apart. And God was basically, it looked like a bit of a shambles, but God was just graciously answering my prayer. You know, so please keep that in mind, that it doesn't always happen the way we think. And sometimes it's not comfortable. God was really just taking me out of my plan and putting me into his plan. And that was obviously required some serious adjustments. So that was why everything was falling apart. And in any case, so that's the grace of God right there. Often we don't recognize it. Okay. Recognizing and responding in terms of Scripture. Can I ask, you know, what was your experience of reading the Word, if you did do so before you had a relationship with God? If anybody wants to venture something, how did you experience?
It was a bit in and out, and on
the way. Okay, in and out, yes. Anybody else? I fell asleep often reading the Word. The thing is, I remember the change after coming to a relationship with God, and again, specifically after being filled with the Holy Spirit, it's suddenly this book was like a 3D movie. Everything was coming alive. The Holy Spirit was like, it's like fresh bread that he breaks open. You can eat it. It's like real. It's alive. It fills you up. It's alive. You know, it was such a change. And that's an amazing thing, you know. Let's just read these scriptures here. Let's say them clearly. Hebrews 4, verse 12 in three different translations. For the word of God is living and powerful. Amplified says, for the word that God speaks is alive and full of power, making it active, operative, energizing, and effective. And the ESV says, for the word of God is living and active. So you see, this is not talking about a boring book or a dead manuscript. It is something that God has breathed, and that when we receive it as such, and when it comes into our lives, it is something it creates in us. You know, God created the universe. He didn't toil and sweat. He spoke his word, and it created something. It's alive. It's active. It's creative. And it's the same with the word of God. When we receive his word as that, and we receive it and respond to it as that, it becomes active in us. It's alive in us. And, it's really something that has transformed my life. You know, you read a scripture, maybe you've read it for the 100th time, and suddenly something else just leaps out of at you at, from the page. You know, it hits you like this on the chest, and you know, whoa. It's the first time I've read it like that. And you know, it's coincidence. No, that's God. That's God speaking to us right there. You know, we sometimes it's something that we, you know, just glance over and then just jumps out at you and you realize, oh dear, this is like relevant for me now, where I'm now at, you know. That's God speaking right there. And again, the way we respond to it is important. You know, thank God for it, write it down, acknowledge, you know, say yes to that thing in your heart. Say, God, yes, I see that this is from you, and I praise God for it. I take it, and I make it my own. And the moment we do that, it's like a seed that gets planted into ground and watered. It takes root, and it becomes alive, and it grows in our hearts. It grows in our lives. You know, often we receive a word, and we don't know. It seems impossible. And when somebody tells you something, feel God says this and this about you, and you think, oh, that's so cool and everything, but, you know, how is that possible? Or you get a word, read a word in scripture, I did that, and it's so amazing. I thought, wow, if this could be true, if this is what God is saying about me, how amazing is that? But then I can't see how that could be possible. But tonight, the thing is, it's not about how it could be possible. Take that word. Doesn't matter if you can see it happening or not. Doesn't matter if it is like that now or not. Probably isn't. But take it and say, God, thank you for this. I will take this with both hands. This is your word, your promise for me, your word, your Lord. And I'll take it. I will make it my own. And that seed is planted and it starts growing and it will bear fruit in our lives. Write it down. Meditate on it. Respond when God is speaking to us. Okay. All right, then recognizing and responding to God in worship. In James 4:8, God says, draw near to me. I will draw near to you when you draw near to me. So that's, you know, as we draw near to God, He draws near to us. He draws near to us. And often we think, yeah, but you know, God is so awesome. Why doesn't He just come? But the incredible thing is that when we look at what God has done, about how He sent His Son to become a man, how He sent His Son to serve the humankind, to serve us with His love, to die on a cross for us, God has done everything in His power to draw near to you and me. And the ball is now in our court. Okay? He's made provision for us in every way possible. He's you know, what Scripture says, He gives us everything pertaining to life and godliness. But now, walls and alcohol. It is for us to respond to what He's done. For us to respond and to take hold of His provision. To take hold of that which is there, what He's prepared for us. To step out of our comfort zone. To step out of, you know, where we're at and say, okay, Lord, I'm drawing near to You. And worship is basically the only thing we can give to God that He can delight in. It's really, He doesn't need our finances and all, you know, all that stuff, our talents and all that stuff we do, and you know, we want to kind of get closer to God. Actually, God doesn't need that. We need it more than He needs it. Okay, but worship is one of those things that, you know, we can give everything of ourselves in worship to God. That is the one thing our whole life we can bring as worship to God, and that blesses God, that He delights in. Okay. And the thing is, again, this is something we need to grow in. But let's read what David says in Psalm 63, it's 2-5. So I have looked for You in the sanctuary to see Your power and Your glory, because Your loving kindness is better than life. My lips shall praise You. Thus I will bless You while I live. I will lift up my hands in Your name. My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise You with joyful lips. Okay, we see kind of this motive thing. David is seeing something about God and he's responding. He's just kind of, this is amazing. You know, and it's the same way, you know, something I've realized, it's I saw this last bit of the Six Nations game between France and Italy on it was yesterday afternoon, and it was in Rome, and it, as far as I could tell, it was the first time in many moons that the French lost, that the Italians beat the French, and you should have heard that crowd there in Rome. They were absolutely going bananas. You know, they were, you know, rejoicing, and everybody was hugging everybody. And you know, the Italians are, you know, expressive people and amazing. And you know, we enjoy sport, ladies. I'm sure you can think of something that you enjoy and you get excited about. I've seen ladies jump up and down and scream and stuff like that. And then I'm like, what? Any case. So there's, you know, sometimes our response about stuff is, you know, it's very, you know, it's like in the World Cup when that try scored, or that when that guy's bowled out, or the, you know, that last run in the last over that we need. It's not, and we go and you go, oh, cool, that was a good six there. You know, and you're like, yeah, we won, sure. Well, that impossible goal happens at the Football World Cup that curls in like from nowhere, and it comes into the corner, and the goalie is like going for it, but he just misses it, and it's right there in the corner, and it's in, and your team wins, and you go, yo, that's amazing. Oh, the thing is, we go bonkers. You know, I've seen some of you guys jump up, run to the television, and you know, we rejoice and we respond. And it's the same when we see something about God that gets us excited. That's why we lift our hands. That's why we shout. That's why we get excited, because we see something about God that we cannot but respond, because He's incredible, because He's awesome, because He's big and almighty, and because I love Him. You know, there's just something in us. There's like that roar of the crowd in Rome that you know that, yes, you know, when we worship God together, that's why there's a response when we worship Him. Because it's not, because you know what, I love God more than I love rugby. And I get more excited about Him than I get about a football goal. Because, in any case, you need to get those priorities straight. Okay, in worship, often you'll find, you know, scripture pops into your head, or a picture. So the Lord speaks to us through pictures, and or just a thought again. And you know, please again, don't just brush it off. Oh, that's interesting. Carry on. I must focus on worship. Often the Lord speaks to us, even corporately when we worship together. Whether it's in your, you know, sometimes it's in your quiet time at home when you're worshiping God, or when it's here. When something like that happens, just take it from God. Say, Lord, thank you for this word. Bring it to the front. Bring it to France or I or David. Submit it to one of the elders. Say, listen, this is what I feel God is saying. Or I've got this scripture I want to share. And then they will tell you, I feel maybe it's just for you. Or yes, could you please share that? Or, you know, sometimes, you know, it's one of three things. It's either for you personally, or it's for somebody else individually, or it's for the corporate, for the body, okay? And it can either be for you to pray about, or it's for you to share, whether it's with somebody else as well. So sometimes when God gives you a word for somebody specifically, it's not necessarily mean you have to run up to them and tell them right there. Just kind of, Lord, should I pray? Should I give it to them? But I'm just going to give you, just for now, encourage you to rather share than not, okay? Because it's difficult. Because I don't want you guys to sit there and think, no, this is something I must pray through when God wants to speak to us. Okay, so if you're in doubt, just share it with somebody, one of the elders or the pastor, and let them help you. Okay, because God is speaking through all of us. And like you heard this earlier today, whether through testimony or word of encouragement, God wants to speak to all of us together. When we're in home group, wherever you're at, when that thought comes or that scripture, respond to it. Are you with me still? Okay, I have to hurry. Okay. And then through circumstance, we We've touched on this a little bit, so I'm not going to carry on too much. I'm just going to briefly mention Jonah. Go and read Jonah. He's a great guy. He's just, you know, he's such an idiot. Everybody reads it and we think, you know, what a pawpaw, you know, how can you be so stupid, you know? And then, but the reality is Jonah is a great example of what every one of us does often every day. And God tells him something. He's not confused. He hears. He doesn't think it's coincidence. He knows he's heard from God. And he hardens his heart and he does exactly the opposite. Okay, I know you guys never do that. But Jonah does that and he goes in a different direction. And so the Lord uses circumstance, in this case a storm, to wake up Jonah and to get the guys on the ship all going to get their attention. And they chuck him overboard and, you know, Jonah knows he's going in the wrong direction. Okay, and again, the grace of God is amazing. Even though there was a bit of a few scary moments there and the guys thought they're not going to make it, is the grace of God. And they chuck him overboard and there's a fish and he swallows Jonah. And again, it's these crazy circumstances that God uses to get Jonah back on track. Even though his heart is hard, even though he's being rebellious, God is gracious. And sometimes when God cannot come through to us using scripture or all these things we're talking about now, he will use circumstance. It's not necessarily God causing the circumstance, but he's using the circumstance. Okay, do you see the difference there? Often we think, oh, God is punishing me now. A while ago, God was speaking to me about getting medical insurance when we were still in South Africa, medical aid. And I was kept on, you know, not doing it because we couldn't afford it, and I was just keep on postponing it, and then I got toothache. Like, bad, bad, bad toothache. I'm not saying God caused it, but he definitely used it to remind me, I've told you something and you need to respond. In any case, so even after Jonah obeyed, he was still sulking. He was still not on the same page as God. And that's scarily how often many of us find ourselves in that place. I don't understand why I'm going through this thing at work. I'm just not, God is not hearing me, and he's forgotten about me, you know, and we sulk and we go through life like this because we're not in tune with what God is doing and what he's saying. No, this thing, this boss, you know, is so terrible. Meantime, God is ministering to you through that boss, and we don't want to hear, and he's an atheist, and you know, it's just me, guys. I know you guys have it. So often, when we're at that place, God is going to use circumstance to get through to us. Okay. And when I did actually, after the toothache, let me just say this. We did get medical aid. And when I signed that contract, now the reason why I've been postponing it, because we literally couldn't afford it, you know. So when I signed that contract, I signed for more money to be deducted out of our account altogether now at the beginning of the month than was coming into it. Do you understand the problem there? Yes. So I had signed on a piece of paper that together with all kinds of other things like rent, etc., was going to go out of the account, but there's not enough coming in on the other side. So that was obviously why. But the amazing thing is, the moment I chose to obey, and now got a job, and by the time that first deduction came, there was sufficient provision. And that's exactly how the Lord works. You know, often it's impossible, so I'm not going to do it. You understand? But that's not how God works. When I respond, yes, God, I'm obeying, it becomes possible. Amen. Alrighty. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 2. You shall remember that the Lord your God led you all the way these 40 years in the wilderness to humble you and test you to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not. Scary. Often circumstances kind of reveal stuff in our hearts. It's not so that God can see what's in our hearts. He knows what's in our hearts. It's for us to see, oh my goodness, what's this gremlin jumping out here? You know, sometimes when somebody cuts in front of you in traffic and you look explode, the Lord does that so that you can like, whoa, what's this thing? I need to deal with this, you know. Oh, you guys are such great drivers, I know. You know, but it's often like through stuff like that stuff in our heart get revealed. And then again, when that happens, don't play ostrich and stick your head in the sand, think, make like you know nothing. Just be humble. Say, Lord, I see this in my heart. I didn't know I had this anger issue still. And I'm willing to deal with it. I don't know how. Again, I don't know how it's going to happen. I don't know how. But I'm willing to respond. I'm willing to hear what you're saying. And I'm willing to do what is necessary. Okay. Recognizing and responding through the counsel of others. God is so gracious, isn't He? He puts people in our lives that can see where your blind spots are. You know, I remember when I was a bus driver, huge bus and big blind spot, difficult to see everywhere, you know. And I used to drive, and then just before changing lanes, because I had a trailer as well behind the bus, so it's a big thing. There's suddenly I notice, or I just at the corner of my eye, I just see a movement, and I realize there's this car, and you're like, this thing has come out of nowhere. It was just in the blind spot, and you get that shock, you know. You're like, whoa, that was close. It's like that as well in life, you know. Often we get the shock when somebody tells you something that you weren't aware of, and it shocks you. But then you must don't get offended. Just receive that because your life has just been saved. Just kind of. It's like those parking sensors. I saw this comedian talking about car parking sensors the other day on Top Gear. It was so funny. He says it's like a little person sitting in your bumper, and when you get closer to the other guy, he goes, watch out, yeah, we're all going to die, you know. And then it goes louder and louder and louder, and it's like this panicky little person sitting in your bumper. And it's like that, you know. That's the grace of God. He puts people there in our life that, and when you're married, it's mostly your spouse in most things that will see that you are this huge blind spot and you're going and you're missing it and you're going to bump your head, and they just kind of say, listen, don't go down. And then you know, we often ignore them and bah, you know. But that's the grace of God right there. He's helping you. Okay, so even when it's people you don't get along with, even if it is your unsaved boss, your atheist boss, or sometimes the Lord will use those to spot the blind spots, okay? But if you are the person on the other side and you are the parking sensor for somebody, okay, do it graciously and in love and gently. Okay. Great. Proverbs 15:22. Without counsel, plans go awry, but in the multitude of counselors they are established. That word awry there is very loaded in this case. It means, you know, if you go on your own, things can go very bad very quickly. But this is just a principle that God has put us in a family where we have a lot of people, bounce things off people, go to leadership, hear from people. Should I make this investment? Should I marry this guy? Should I go to this country? Should I take this job? Hear from other people around you, people that hear from God, people that have a relationship with Him. Take a hold of that blessing that God is. Even if it's your unsaved mother-in-law. Yeah. Even sometimes people we don't expect. Sometimes the Lord will, you might not go to ask them, but they will say something and you might realize, okay, God is speaking to me. Okay, don't reject that. Remain teachable. Obviously, when somebody gives you like a prophecy or a word like that, there's a way to test it. Okay, so test it with scripture, bounce it off one or two people. If some stranger comes up to you in the street and says, the Lord says you must move to Afghanistan tomorrow, it's good to test stuff like that. Okay, and test it against scripture, submit it to leadership. That's the safety net God has designed to keep us from hurting ourselves. Okay, then power of belief, realizing the manifestation of belief. Okay, believing all the stuff that we're talking about now. When we discern God is trying to get through to me, I've got this thought, I've got the scripture jumping out at me, somebody is saying something to me, believing that is from God is a choice we make. Okay, it's kind of in every situation we face, okay, God is faithful, I know He can make a plan, I know He's got a way for me, I know He speaks to me, I believe that He is communicating. I step out in faith. It's not fear. I'm not afraid. I've dealt with fear. I'm now in a place where I know God is good. I know He's my dad. I know He looks out for me. I know He wants to speak to me. Okay. So that's a choice we make, to stand on His word, to stand on His promise. You know, when we, in this room here, you know, I get so excited about our family here, because there's such an incredible potential. The purpose of God in our lives, the plan He has for each one of you. It's like seeds, you know, when you seeds are such a powerful thing. If you look at a forest, this huge, you know, forest we get here, they started with one little thingy this big. You know, and it's, when we look at it like that, it's incredible that little seed, like a potential, has such a potential. You know, we have the potential to change this nation, to change the continent of Europe, the world.
Amen.
You know? But if, unless we take that potential and we put it where it needs to be, that seed, we position it, we put it in ground and we water it, it's going to just stay that potential. Okay, so I want to encourage you guys that choice every day to say, Lord, I'll take what your word says about me. I receive what you're saying to me. I'm stepping out. I'm not living in fear. I'm living in faith. I believe in you. It's a choice we make every day. You know, and again, how I respond to that word, when I hear it, when I read it, whichever way it comes, in a dream or in a vision or in a picture, write it down, nurture it, meditate on it. If it's something you must do now, like tell the guy at the till that Jesus loves him, or then obviously don't write it down and meditate on it. Tell the guy, okay? That fear that keeps us from obeying. What is he going to think? It's like the same that the fear that in worship keeps me from, you know, keeps us from lifting our hand or jumping when we feel like it. What are the people going to think? So I want to say, get rid of that fear, guys. We can't afford to live under that bondage anymore. Okay. James chapter 2, 14 to 17. What does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you says to them, depart in peace, be warmed and filled, but you do not give them the things which they are needed for the body, what does it profit? Thus also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. In verse 26, for as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. And the amazing thing is, this is not a, oh dear, you know, I must go and do stuff. This is really just a place of recognizing that God is calling us to partnership. And for us to be able to partner with God, we need to hear. We need to communicate with Him. And for us to recognize that He has prepared good works for us to walk in. He has already finished those amazing things. And He wants to take your hand, Warren, and everybody, and say, listen, Warren, won't you pray for that person? Won't you just encourage that person? It's something that has completely transformed my life, is when I realized how badly God wants to speak to people. How badly He wants to express His love to somebody. And the amazing thing is, He wants to use me and you to do that. Whether it is by pushing somebody's car next to the road, or helping your neighbor with something, or making coffee for your colleague, God, or just encouraging somebody, God wants so desperately to talk to people. And He's inviting us to that partnership. And that partnership, you know, requires us to hear and to obey. Okay. So this is not a big thing about, oh, I must now do all these good works. They have been prepared. They've been completed. The victory has been won. And we literally have to walk in that victory. We have to say, Lord, I know it's there. I want to take it today. What you prepared today, I want to take with both hands. That what you have prepared for us this day, I want to grab a hold of it. I mean, if you could stand with me, we're going to worship you. I hope I didn't rush too much. I'm really excited. God has, has already given us a few words earlier today, and I really felt that there's specific things we need to pray through. But before we do that, I believe the Lord wants to talk to us. Are you, maybe? Okay, can you just stay where you are. But some of you here tonight are still kind of wrestling with, I don't know if God speaks to me, and God has never spoken to me, or I've never heard God speaking. I'm struggling to recognize when God says something, struggling to, and guys, that's 100% fine. We all go through that. It's a, like I said, it's a learning thing. It's a growth in a relationship. You get to hear, you get to learn somebody, you know, you get to know somebody's voice, get to know how they communicate, even when they're not speaking. You know, and the amazing thing about the Lord is that as we fill ourselves with the Word, as we fill ourselves, we you know, we into His presence, as we spend time with Him, we get to know Him. We get to know how He thinks about stuff. We get to know how He responds to situations. It's just like my wife. I can slowly but surely, I'm a bit thick about these things, but slowly but surely I'm getting to know what she likes and what she doesn't like. You know, I'm getting to be sensitive about that stuff. And it's the same with the Lord. You know, it becomes easier to discern His will. It becomes easier to respond to a situation because we know Him. We know Him more. So I want to really encourage you. It's not something like, let's switch on, switch off. It's really, Lord, I'm pressing into You. I want to know You more. I want to know Your heart. And we grow in that. And I didn't mention this earlier, but often the Lord speaks to us through reminding us of Scripture. So the Holy Spirit will remind you of a Scripture. But He can only remind you if you've put it in you. So I want to really encourage you guys, if it's never a waste of time to read Scripture, even if you're just putting in the hours and reading it and there's nothing major, no goosebumps, no big things happening, just put in the Scripture. And then, you know, the situation comes when you need to proof, you know, when you need to speak that Scripture over a situation, when God really wants to remind you of a Scripture. And tonight I really feel we're going to, the Lord wants to chat, wants to speak to us. And I believe He wants to speak to every person here, okay? So if there's something new to you, don't be afraid. God speaks to us, amen? So we're going to just worship one song, it won't be long. There's no pressure. But I really believe the Lord wants to give us some words tonight, okay? He wants to give you a picture or remind you of a Scripture or give you a word of encouragement through His Holy Spirit, okay? And it might be for all of us. It might be for somebody specific here tonight. It might be somebody that isn't here tonight. But please, as we worship now, God is going to speak to you, okay? I believe that. I have faith for that. And now I want to encourage you to, as we worship, to focus on God and to expect Him to speak to you, okay? So if it's a picture, then come and share the picture. You don't have to know what it means. Just share what you see. If it's a Scripture, sometimes the Lord just gives me a reference. I have to go and look it up. I can't remember what it says. Then that's also great. You know? Are you excited? Are you ready to receive? To hear?